This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you.
Your host, J. Paul Newman of the monthly District Attorney Show, will now take you on a journey to explore recent Rutherford County court cases, cold cases, and more.
We welcome everyone to the program. My name is J. Paul Newman. My co-host today are Rutherford County District Attorney General Jennings Jones and Rutherford County Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch. We thank WGNS for providing the airtime. And we also thank our producer, Scott Walker. Most of all, we thank you for listening. We will begin our broadcast after you listen to these important messages.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have a lot of questions. How do you make your savings last? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Let's work together to help ensure your finances can keep up with your unique needs over the long haul. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. Stop by our office in the Public Shopping Center on South Rutherford Boulevard or give us a call at 615-907-7056 for an appointment. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Holden Hardware has been serving the hardware needs of this community since 1948. This is Raleigh Holden, Jr. I want to thank our many customers who have helped to keep us in business all these years. I also want to invite those who may be new to this community or have not been in the store lately to visit us. Come experience a unique hardware buying atmosphere with wood floors, old furniture and fixtures, along with a helpful and knowledgeable sales staff. Holden Hardware on the west side of the public square since 1948.
At Budge Tire Pros, we sell all major brands of tires, and we invite you to stop by today for that next set of tires. Or maybe you need us to check out your vehicle before you head out of town. We offer everything from brakes to batteries, alignments, and more. No appointments necessary, just stop on by.
I'm Allison Mitchell with Bud's Tire Pros. We're located on East Main Street, exactly 3 miles from the town square, 1 mile past Rutherford Boulevard. Visit us online at budstireprostn.com.
We break in with traffic, news, and weather bulletins anytime. Good Neighbor Talk is your 24/7 connection. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
The viewpoints and opinions expressed on this broadcast are the viewpoints and opinions of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints and opinions of this show, its host, or the management of this station. You are listening to WGNS. For over a decade, on the first Friday of each month, the Rutherford County District Attorney General's office has been honored to have been provided airtime as part of the Action Line program. During the broadcast, it is our goal to help keep the community up to date on events occurring inside the criminal justice system of Rutherford County. I believe that one of the most important functions of this broadcast is to keep the community aware of unsolved criminal activity that has occurred around us, especially unsolved murders. And it has also been my honor to bring to you many of Rutherford County's criminal justice success stories. I believe there is no greater success than when our criminal justice system works to solve, prosecute, and convict someone who is guilty of killing another. The success is even greater when the case had remained unsolved for many years. I call those cases super cases. We will begin with the first of several of Rutherford County's most prominent super cases. Today's show will feature the murder of a woman that remained unsolved for over 15 years. But through the dedication of law enforcement, over 17 years later, the killer was arrested, convicted, sentenced, and brought to justice for his horrible crime. We invite you now to stay tuned for today's super case. It is the 1994 murder of 29-year-old Rhonda Sue Bailey. This is J. Paul Newman, and you are listening to this special edition of The Action Line on your good neighbor station, WGNS.
From call to conviction, time now for a look back at one of the more intriguing and important cases for this community. From the crime, the investigation, to the prosecution.
We'll review a cold case murder that remained unsolved for over 16 years. With us today to discuss that case are Detectives Bill Sharp and Dan Goodwin of the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. Our case study today takes us all the way back to May the 4th, 1994. The location is near a small bridge which spans Highway 99 in Rutherford County, Tennessee. There, road crew workers make a grisly discovery. In the water beneath the bridge, they discover the body of a woman. The Rutherford County Sheriff's Office responds to the scene. The body is sent to the medical examiner's office. The medical examiner determines that the woman drowned and that her body had been in the water for several days. It will be 3 weeks before the body is identified as the body of 29-year-old Rhonda Sue Bailey, who was an aspiring songwriter and the mother of two small children. Because of the circumstances, law enforcement officers were certain that this was more than just a drowning. They believe that this was a murder. However, despite the best efforts of law enforcement, the case grows cold. Many years pass, and no one is charged with the murder of Rhonda Sue Bailey. Then, in 2009, cold case detectives Bill Sharp and Dan Goodwin reopened the investigation. New leads are developed. Old witnesses are re-interviewed. New witnesses are found. And new information points to a single suspect. In April of 2010, almost 16 years after Rhonda Sue Bailey is murdered, Detectives Sharp and Goodwin develop enough evidence to arrest and charge 45-year-old David Wayne Newcomb with the murder of Rhonda Sue Bailey. The Rutherford County Grand Jury returned an indictment against David Wayne Newcomb. The indictment charged 45-year-old David Newcomb with the murder of 29-year-old Rhonda Sue Bailey. The case was assigned to the court of Judge David Bragg. David Newcomb was represented by Rutherford County Assistant Public Defenders J.D. Driver and Rusty Perkins. The prosecution team consisted of District Attorney General William C. Weitzel, Jr. and Assistant District Attorneys J. Paul Newman and Allison Abbott. On February the 22nd, 2012, just days before his trial was scheduled to begin, David Newcomb decided not to go to trial. Newcomb entered a plea of guilty to the murder of Rhonda Sue Bailey. Pursuant to the plea agreement, Judge Bragg sentenced Newcomb to serve a total of 15 years in the Tennessee State Penitentiary. Justice was delayed for over 16 years. But through the efforts of two dedicated law enforcement officers, justice was served, and David Wayne Newcomb was held accountable for the murder of Rhonda Sue Bailey. With us today in the WGNS studios to discuss this case are the two detectives who arrested David Wayne Newcomb. We welcome Major Bill Sharp and Sergeant Dan Goodwin to the broadcast.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Major Sharp, we'll begin the segment by asking you to kind of introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what motivated you to choose law enforcement.
Well, I first off saying is that I'm an implant. I'm originally from New Jersey, where my father was retired military. And we moved to Tennessee, Murfreesboro, 1976. From there, we eventually moved to Cannon County, where I graduated high school, met my future wife. We have two children, three grandchildren. I attended the University of Middle Tennessee, graduated with a Bachelor of Science in 1992, and at that time I had just been hired by former Sheriff Truman Jones to come to work for the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. I started my law enforcement career in Woodbury under Chief William Bill Avery in 1991, and then transferred up here to Rutherford County about a year, 2 years later. So my road to law enforcement wasn't set forth by me. I wanted to be a teacher and coach baseball, so I never really had a desire to get into law enforcement. It just sort of happened upon me. But it's been a good career. Looking back, I've been associated with some great district attorneys, trying to make you blush a little bit, and some great investigators. So all in all, I think I've made a right choice.
Well, Sergeant Goodwin, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you into law enforcement?
Did not set out to be a cop like Bill. I, too, was an Air Force brat, and Dad retired down here in 1971 with the Woodbury Central High School. Went in the Air Force for 4 years, and then I went to MTSU on the college bill. Because I already knew how to read and write, I decided to be a journalism major. And for my sins, I went into newspaper work for 7 years, ending up as an editor at the Daily News Journal. But I was also a cop reporter, and after that period of time, I realized I had a lot more in common with those guys than the people that work in the news industry. So in 92, Sheriff Jones gave me a job as a road deputy. Within a year, they started the SRO program, and I was one of the first five in the state. Did that for a couple of years and decided to try detective work and went into narcotics. And since 1995, I've been in the detective division, either as a CID investigator, cold case guy, or a narcotics detective.
We appreciate both of you taking the time to be here today. My first question about the investigation is for Major Sharp. Could you tell us who were some of the law enforcement involved in the investigations and what roles did they play in bringing David Wayne Newcomb to justice?
Well, in 1994, the lead investigator on that was former Detective Jimmy Davis, who has since passed. Jimmy was the lead investigator on that. And the way it worked is people have to understand how small Rutherford County was back then. So when the report of a body was found, patrol would respond out, they would secure the area, and then detectives would arrive at the scene and process the scene. And that was done by detectives, lead detectives. And I believe Detective Wharf may have been involved as far as helping at some point at that time as well. But the scene was secured, evidence was collected, and they began following up on leads.
Sergeant Goodwin, my summary was quite brief, and I would like to ask you a series of questions designed to tell us more about the details that led to the murder of Rhonda Sue Bailey first, and then to the arrest of Donald Wayne Newcomb. My first question is, what was happening at the bridge area that day that led to the discovery of Rhonda Bailey's body?
Contracted Kentucky-based grass-cutting firm working for the state of Tennessee was mowing Highway 99 out there, which was very narrow back then, doing the shoulders. And they got down to the creek there out near North Road, but it's a whole new bridge there now. And they saw a woman's body in the shallow water underneath the two-lane bridge that was there.
My next question is, can you share with us in summary form what caused investigators to believe that this was not an accidental drowning?
For one thing, nobody had reported her missing at that point, and a car title was discovered in her hip pocket. She was badly decomposed. The ME found that she'd probably been murdered about 3 weeks before the body was found, going back to the date on which we know she actually was killed. And at that point, they went and found out who had the license. They thought it was a woman named Joy Newcomb, because that was a car to her car title. And they got up there, and her husband was there. It was actually in both their names. And he said, yes, that's my title. And a woman stole it out of my car when I was in Nashville a few weeks ago. And his wife confirmed the story.
How was the body identified as being Rhonda Sue Bailey?
Like I said, it took more than 3 weeks. And she'd actually had a minor arrest in Camas, Washington State, a year or two before. And there was an NCIC hit on her fingerprints.
Major Sharp, if I could turn to you.
Yes, sir.
What problems did the initial investigators encounter that prevented them from being able to solve this crime quickly? Was it a lack of a suspect or a lack of evidence or a combination of both?
I don't think it was a lack of suspect. I think they looked at David Wayne Newcomb from the beginning. The problem that we faced back then, in all cold cases, Paul, is the, I don't want to say lack of cooperation from witnesses, but however, when we get these cases and they're years old and we go back and interview the same people that were interviewed in the beginning, they're more willing or able to come forward with information. A lot of times what we've found is that these witnesses, spouses, especially in girlfriends and so forth, are intimidated and afraid to come forward with that information. As the years go by and relationships break off, they get more relaxed and are able to open up about the things that they knew of the homicides and assaults and so forth. So I think that was one of the hurdles that Detective Davis and the other detectives faced in 94 was unwillingness of people to cooperate, to talk out of fear.
Major Sharp, what caused you and Sergeant Goodwin to reopen the investigation after more than 16 years?
Dan had received a phone call. We had a former employee, I think, is Keith Stevens. Is that correct, Dan?
Yep.
Who's been with Metro, who's actually in administration now. But Keith had talked to a Detective Satterfield in Metro, and they began discussing it, and they got a hold of Sergeant Goodwin, and it just sort of transpired from there, looking into the case and information.
From the investigation, were you able to establish a motive for this crime?
What we found out through interviewing Joy, who's the wife, a former wife of David, is we were able to put David Newcomb and the victim in the same vehicle in the area, and we found out that they had been dating off and on periodically over the course of a year or so. At some point, David thought that he was being robbed or was being taken advantage of by the victim. And what happened is he became angered, enraged, and stopped the vehicle and began choking the victim, Rhonda Sue Bailey, unconscious and then throwing her off the bridge.
Detective Goodwin, what can you tell us about the person who murdered Rhonda Sue Bailey? Did he have a criminal record?
Oh, he had an extensive criminal record going back to the early 80s when he was barely legal, as we say, over 18 years old. He was arrested for armed robbery. He'd been in numerous conflicts with people. Every girlfriend he had, he beat and choked. We found a number of those girlfriends. He at one point had attacked Joy Newcomb and after this crime, and it was got so bad she actually shot him. And he roamed all over the country victimizing women, and every single one that he met, starting with Joy, he made multiple admissions to how he killed this girl and threw her under a bridge.
I noticed from reading the case over that it appears that Mr. Newcomb had also been charged and possibly was serving a sentence that had to serve first before he began this murder case. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, sir. He was, in fact, in jail in Cookeville when we first interviewed him, and a key piece happened there. I'll tell you real quick. Some of the case file had been lost, and we had to reconstruct it. We did not have the title, but in that interview, he again said that was our car title that was in her pocket. But then we had all the lies that he told the police compared to what he told the ladies. He was in jail because he had attacked his latest girlfriend there in Cookeville, throwing gasoline on her and tried to set her on fire. And when two Cookeville police officers arrived, he threw gas on them and tried to ignite them. For whatever reason, they chose physical means to restrain him, but they got him into custody. So he was convicted while he was in jail, and we were investigating over those assaults and had a prison term deserved for that.
Detective Goodwin, it is important that we recognize the victim in this case. What can you tell us about Rhonda Sue Bailey?
Her mother loved her. Her dad left early on, so she was kind of wild. Her mom had pictures of her when she was in the first boom of skateboarding. She was in that. She loved to draw, write poems and stuff. She dropped out of high school and choosing a series of bad men, which led to her bouncing around the country. And she met the baddest man in Nashville in 1994.
I think what's important also is the fact that Dan mentioned that she had a book of poems.
Yeah.
That book of poems that she carried with her from her early to adult life until her demise, that book of poems was, according to David Wayne Newcomb's wife, Joy, was in David's dresser. So it was found at his place of residence. However, he destroyed it, but she was able to identify it, describe it in color and size and all that. So that was rather important in the case itself, that he took something from the victim and held on to it for a while.
Sergeant Goodwin, let's talk a little bit about the family of Rhonda Sue Bailey. I know they suffered a tremendous loss. I believe that she had a couple of children, and I think the family was involved in helping you with this investigation. Can you share with us a few thoughts about the family?
Yes, sir. Of course, it destroyed the girls' lives. They were raised by their grandma, had left them with her mom shortly before she went to Washington State, and then she went to Nashville. During out this period, we kept in touch with her mom, Judy Stanley, and her new husband, and found out a lot of stuff about Rhonda. And actually, they took the best photos we still had in the case file. They came up after she was identified and took pictures of Highway 99. That's all gone now, but we saw the skid marks, and those pictures were still there where he apparently slammed on the brakes and stopped on the bridge. So they were tremendous, and after we made the arrest, we traveled down there and told them about it and briefed the girls on what had happened and that he was going to be going to jail for a long, long time. And we presented them with a pair of handcuffs that we used that we had Rutherford County cold case engraved on and gave it to the daughters.
Major Sharp and Sergeant Goodwin, we want to thank you and the other members of the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office for the excellent work that was performed in bringing David Wayne Newcomb to justice. Do either one of you have any parting comments?
I just want to say that it's important to the listeners out there, and if they have information, even though they may think it's minimal, please call in, because every bit of information is very important.
This is Paul Newman. When we return, we will all go inside the courts. You are listening to this special edition of The Action Line on WGNS.
Hey folks, this is Mike Sparks, 49th District House member. Running for re-election, want to ask for your support.
The issues Mike's championed include the First and Second Amendment tax cut bills, passing legislation to improve mental health, the Safe Storage of Firearms Act, plus he sponsored affordable housing legislation that passed this year. Mike Sparks has been outspoken on Jefferson Pike for 20 years, which led to the $70 million widening project that's almost complete. We need Mike Sparks to remain in the State House.
This Mike Sparks, ask for your vote.
Painful messages like Mike Sparks, Alicia Sparks Treasure.
This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant. One of the other things that we're doing on the remodel is that we're putting in ceiling tiles that have a high absorption for sound and be able to enjoy their meals with their families. We're bringing a lot of the green back, and we're bringing back retro light fixtures. We've added a wall while updating the look and making it a lot more fresh. Now that you've heard about the changes that we're making at Demas's, you need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
As the final votes are cast, no one knows who will become the next president.
This is shaping up to be one of the closest presidential contests in history.
On election night, CBS News Radio will be tracking results in real time with expert analysis and live reports from across the nation.
And WGNS will have you covered on local and statewide races beginning at 7 p.m. Sponsored by Toots, Wilson Bank, McCabe Vision Center, Jennings and Ayers Funeral Home, and Ferrer Construction.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least master prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, take control of your account management and energy consumption with the MyMTE app. Download from the App Store and manage your account, improve your energy habits, and more. MTE, serving to make life better since 1936.
This is Inside the Courts, a look at this month's trials, pleas, and grand jury action. Inside the Courts is presented as a courtesy of the Rutherford County Clerk's Office.
Good morning, everyone. This is your District Attorney General, Jennings Jones, and today I will be your tour guide through this episode of Inside the Courts. We begin this segment by stating that none of the defendants named in upcoming trials or hearings have been convicted, and of course, they are presumed by our law to be innocent. With that as a prelude, we will now go inside the courts. On March 9th of this year, officers with the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a 911 call for shots fired at a residence on East Vine Street in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Upon arrival, officers discovered Mr. Davion Gates lying unresponsive in the driveway of his residence, suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. Mr. Gates died from his injuries. Detective Justin Fugate with the Murfreesboro Police Department was assigned as the lead investigator. Multiple persons resided in the residence, and officers learned that the 23-year-old gunshot victim was a romantic partner of one of the residents, a 41-year-old female. Also at the residence was a 44-year-old Corey Munsell Lillard. Mr. Lillard is the father of several of the female residents' children. Mr. Lillard was also staying at the residence at the time of the shooting. Detective Fugate interviewed multiple witnesses, but also reviewed video jail calls between Mr. Lillard and one of his sons that was incarcerated at the Rutherford County Adult Detention Center. Mr. Lillard was on a video call with his son at the time of the shooting. From a review of this video, as well as evidence collected on the scene, Mr. Lillard was charged with first-degree murder, maintaining a dwelling with the purpose of selling or using narcotics, possession of a Schedule II drug with the intent to resell, possession of drug paraphernalia, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. A preliminary hearing was held on June 18th of this year before the General Sessions Court, and probable cause was found to bind the matter over for presentation to a Rutherford County grand jury. The defendant is represented by counsel, Mr. John Slager, and the state is represented by Assistant District Attorney Matt Westmoreland. On April 13th of this year, officers with the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a 911 call for shots fired on South Rutherford Boulevard in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Upon arrival, officers discovered the body of Mr. Paul Howell in the roadway. Mr. Howell had been shot in his throat and died as a result of his injuries. Detective Andrew Stallnacher was assigned as lead investigator. Also on scene was Mr. Brian Craig, a friend of Mr. Howell's. Mr. Craig had sustained a single gunshot to the arm. Witnesses to the shooting reported a road rage incident where Mr. Howell and Mr. Craig were nearly run off the road by an unknown driver. All parties came to a stop at a red light, and a verbal altercation led to shots being fired by the unknown driver. Almost 30 minutes after the incident was reported, Mr. Joseph R. Gann called 911 to report that he was the shooter. Mr. Gann was interviewed along with multiple witnesses. At the conclusion of the initial investigation, Mr. Gann was charged with second-degree murder, attempted second-degree murder, and reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon. Mr. Gann is represented by counsel, Mr. Josh Crane. The state is represented by Assistant District Attorneys Trevor Lynch and Matt Westmoreland. This matter has been bound over by agreement to be presented to a Rutherford County grand jury. On May 15th of this year, officers with the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a 911 call of shots fired at a gas station on Joe B. Jackson Parkway in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Officers discovered the body of Mr. Devin Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence had been shot multiple times in the back and died from his injuries. Officers also located Mr. Eric Mitchell, Mr. Lawrence's brother. Mr. Mitchell had been shot once in the arm and beaten across the head, face, and body. Also on scene was Mr. Juan Charco and his brother. This altercation was captured on video surveillance. Detective William Pullius was assigned as the lead investigator. Upon conclusion of the detective's investigation, officers discovered that Mr. Charco and his brother were in the process of illegally transporting a vehicle that was owned by Mr. Lovitz from Atlanta, Georgia to Nashville, Tennessee, without Mr. Lovitz's knowledge or consent. Mr. Lovitz and his brother confronted Mr. Charco and his brother and took the vehicle back at gunpoint. When Mr. Lovitz and Mr. Mitchell were attempting to drive away in their own vehicles, Mr. Charco retrieved a semi-automatic rifle and shot over 25 times at the two men. Mr. Charco has been charged with second-degree murder and attempted second-degree murder. This matter has been bound over by agreement and awaits presentation to a Rutherford County grand jury. The defendant is represented by counsel, Mr. Jeffrey Jackson, while the state will be represented by Assistant District Attorneys Trevor Lynch and Matt Westmoreland. On February the 15th of last year, officers with the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a 911 call of shots fired in an apartment complex on Puckett Creek Crossing. Officers discovered the body of Miss Rebecca Stockton on the floor of her apartment. Miss Stockton had been shot multiple times. Detective Julie Cox with the Murfreesboro Police Department was assigned as the lead investigator. Miss Stockton's live-in boyfriend, Salim Hamilton, was missing. A manhunt for Mr. Hamilton was ordered, and he was located in Corbin, Kentucky, where he was found to be in possession of the rental car of Miss Stockton and a .40-caliber semi-automatic handgun. Miss Stockton was shot and killed by a .40-caliber semi-automatic handgun. Mr. Hamilton was charged in Kentucky with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. The Murfreesboro police charged him with first-degree murder and extradited him back to Tennessee from Corbin, Kentucky. A preliminary hearing was held on January the 4th of this year, and the General Sessions Court bound the case over for presentation to a Rutherford County grand jury, where the defendant was indicted for first-degree murder, tampering with evidence, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and employing a firearm during the commission of a felony. The state will be represented by Assistant District Attorneys Trevor Lynch and Matt Westmoreland, while the defendant is represented by Mr. Chris Fisher. The last court date for this case was held yesterday, October the 30th. On the 6th of October, 2022, officers with the Laverne Police Department were dispatched to a residence on Almondwood Place in Laverne, Tennessee. in response to a shooting that led to the death of the homeowner, Miss Robin Taylor. Detective Tanner Noakes was assigned as the lead investigator. Miss Taylor's sister, Candace Davis, was on scene when officers arrived. After initially claiming an unknown subject shot her sister and ran away, Miss Davis later changed her story and claimed her sister attacked her, so she shot Miss Taylor in self-defense. Upon conclusion of Detective Noakes' investigation, and in light of the evidence collected on scene, it was determined that Miss Davis was not justified in shooting Miss Taylor. She has been charged with second-degree murder. A preliminary hearing was held on November the 4th of 2022, and the court determined that probable cause did exist to bind the case over to the grand jury. The next scheduled court date for this case is November the 22nd of this year. The defendant is represented by Mr. Will Fraley, while the state will be represented by Assistant District Attorneys Trevor Lynch and Matt Westmoreland. On July the 11th of 2022, officers with the Smyrna Police Department responded to a reported aggravated assault. Upon arrival, officers discovered that two brother-in-laws, Mr. Jason Munivong and Mr. Edgar Mercado, got into a verbal disagreement. At one point during the argument, Mr. Munivong pulled a firearm on Mr. Mercado and pointed it at him. According to witnesses, Mr. Mercado was unarmed and had not exhibited any aggressive behavior toward Mr. Munivong. Mr. Munivong was arrested for aggravated assault. In April of 2023, a Rutherford County grand jury indicted Mr. Munivong for aggravated assault, and on August 21st of this year, a jury of his peers convicted Mr. Munivong for aggravated assault. A sentencing hearing is scheduled for the end of this year. The defendant was represented by counsel Mr. Rob McKinney, while the state was represented by Assistant District Attorney Sarah Davis. On February the 12th of 2022, the Murfreesboro Police Department responded to a parking lot on Middle Tennessee Boulevard in response to a shooting. Upon arrival, officers discovered at least five individuals that had been struck by gunfire. Two individuals had been shot multiple times, including Mr. Brandon Anderson, who later died from his injuries. Detective Cody Thomas has been assigned as the lead investigator. Upon conclusion of the investigation, Detective Thomas charged Mr. Jamar Marks with first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, three counts of aggravated assault, employing a firearm during the commission of a dangerous felony, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and reckless endangerment with a deadly weapon. Mr. Marks appeared before the General Sessions Court in Rutherford County on June 30th of 2022. At that time, Mr. Marks waived a preliminary hearing and voluntarily bound the matter over to the Rutherford County Grand Jury. On July 25th of this year, Mr. Marks entered a plea of guilty to second-degree murder, attempted second-degree murder, and two counts of aggravated assault. Mr. Marks received a total sentence of 15 years to serve in the custody of the Tennessee Department of Corrections. Mr. Marks was represented by counsel Mr. Michael Rexroth, while the state was represented by Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch. On June 8th of 2020, deputies with the Rutherford County Sheriff's Department responded to a shooting on Summertime Drive. While en route, deputies observed a vehicle matching the suspect vehicle description leaving the scene. A traffic stop was conducted and deputies took the driver and Yosim Sir Fomfom into custody. Deputies observed and recovered an object, later identified as a firearm, being thrown from the vehicle. At the scene of the shooting, deputies discovered the body of Mr. Thien Nguyen sitting in the driver's seat of his vehicle. Mr. Nguyen had a single gunshot wound to the head. Detective Sergeant Ty Downing was assigned as the lead investigator in this case. Upon interviewing witnesses, collection of physical evidence, and execution of search warrants on electronic devices, Yosim Sir Fomfom was charged with first-degree murder, attempted especially aggravated robbery, tampering with evidence, and employing a weapon during a dangerous felony. On August 20th of this year, Mr. Fomfom entered pleas of guilty to second-degree murder, attempted especially aggravated robbery, conspiracy to attempted especially aggravated robbery, and received a total sentence of 40 years to serve in the custody of the Tennessee Department of Corrections. The defendant was represented by counsel, Mr. Jack Mitchell, while the state was represented by Assistant District Attorney Trevor Lynch. A trial is scheduled to begin on November the 18th of this year on Mr. Irwin Odom for an allegation of first-degree murder. Mr. Irwin Odom is represented by counsel, Mr. Josh Crane, while the state is represented by Assistant District Attorney Sarah Davis. A trial is scheduled to begin on January the 7th of next year on Mr. Chris Robinson and Mr. Chris White for the allegations of first-degree murder, aggravated burglary, especially aggravated robbery, especially aggravated kidnapping, employing a firearm during the commission of a dangerous felony, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and tampering with evidence. Mr. White is represented by Mr. Paul Bruno, while Mr. Robinson is represented by Mr. Rob McKinney and Mr. Brian Lewis. The state will be represented by Assistant District Attorneys Trevor Lynch and Ashley Hall. A trial is scheduled to begin on February the 20th of next year on Apollo Cantrell for allegations of first-degree murder, aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, employing a firearm during the commission of a dangerous felony, and possession of a handgun by a convicted felon. The state will be represented by Trevor Lynch and Matt Westmoreland, while the defendant will be represented by Mr. David Clark. A trial is scheduled to begin on March 10th of next year on Dontorius and Donzala Hamler for second-degree murder, 2 counts of attempted second-degree murder, 6 counts of aggravated assault, employing a firearm during the commission of an offense, and reckless endangerment. Mr. Hamler is represented by counsel, Mr. Ben Wetzel, with the Public Defender's Office. And Ms. Hamler is represented by Ms. Jennifer Fiola. The state is represented by Assistant District Attorneys Matt Westmoreland and Trevor Lynch. A trial is scheduled to begin on April 21st of next year on Jeffrey Burris for an allegation of first-degree murder. The defendant is represented by Murfreesboro attorney Mr. Josh Crane, while the state is represented by attorneys Haley Ranieri and Trevor Lynch. A trial is scheduled to begin April 28th of next year on Dante Martin for allegations of first-degree murder, attempted first-degree murder, 2 counts of aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, carrying a weapon on school property, and employing a firearm during the commission of a dangerous felony. The defendant is represented by counsel, Mr. Jacob Findlay, while the state will be represented by Assistant District Attorney Matt Westmoreland. And that will conclude today's look inside the courts.
This is Good Neighbor Events with Bart Walker, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control and the law offices of John Day.
I've got pests.
AmeriCare is Rutherford County's number one choice in pest control, and it's simple to see why. After calling 893-7111, their staff came to my house 8 years ago when I had an insect problem. They looked at the situation, showed me the areas, and what they'd recommend to resolve the problem. After treatment and with quarterly checks, I'm bug, critter, and creepy crawly free. Thanks, AmeriCare.
Call the best of the best to get rid of your pest.
AmeriCare, 893-7111.
WGNS Good Neighbor Events. This is the weekend we fall back in time. The 17th annual Cookin' to Build is Saturday, the 11 until 1, all around the Murfreesboro Square. Come on up and enjoy some homemade stews, chili, soups, and all sorts of goodies. It's the 17th annual Cookin' to Build, benefiting Rutherford County's Habitat for Humanity. Again, that's this Saturday, 11 until 1, all around the courthouse. We'll see you there. There are free computer classes at the Technology Engagement Center. The Monday class is at 3:30, and there's another class on Tuesday at 2:30. Call and find out more about the free computer classes at the Technology Engagement Center. It's a part of our public library. Don't forget, this weekend is when we change times. Don't throw away Old Glory. Bring your tattered American flag to WGNS and let the girls from BSA Troop 2019 at Trinity United Methodist Church retire it with dignity. Plus, we also recycle Bibles. Those are WGNS Good Neighbor Events.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's EV Ready program provides members with $50 in bill credits toward the installation of wiring to support 240-volt charging in their garages. Learn more at driveev.com.
Good morning. It remains a little bit sluggish here on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. This has been slow from an earlier wreck we had this morning down through here between Dickerson Pike and Trinity Lane. As you work your way down from the north, there's still some volume coming in right now through Dixon County, or from Dixon County up through Kingston Springs all the way up to Charlotte Pike. It remains busy but moving on 65 northbound from Franklin Brentwood all the way up into South Nashville. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on a new menu. Check them all out this weekend. Order online. It's easy. PrincessHotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
A blend of clouds and sunshine develops here this afternoon with a high in the upper 60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low near 53. Saturday, sunshine, a high of 77. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS.
Currently, it's 61.
What's the law?
Time now for an examination of the laws of Tennessee. This is not intended to be legal advice and is being presented solely for the informational benefit of our listening audience. You should always consult with an attorney whenever you need or rely on legal advice.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to today's episode of What's the Law, which is actually going to be more like Inside the Office. This morning, I'm going to discuss with you the office of the District Attorney General. While the elected district attorney is the head of the office, an ultimate decision maker in all matters related to the office, the boss relies upon the men and women they have chosen to run the various divisions and handle the day-to-day responsibilities. So what about our office? Our elected district attorney general, Jennings H. Jones, has several divisions in position he has to staff, and he must be able to trust the men and women he selects for those responsibilities. The actual office, the physical building, is staffed by an administrative assistant, a person who is responsible for running the internal aspects of the office, ordering supplies, updating equipment, human resource functions, employee scheduling, such as days off, vacations, etc., and countless other tasks that I can't explain because I don't know what they all are. The office relies on at least two office assistants that will communicate with the public on a daily basis. This may be in the form of answering questions by phone, assisting walk-ins, responding to emails, and sometimes good old-fashioned United States Postal Service mail. The office relies upon three grand jury coordinators, men and women who each month schedule witnesses to appear and testify before a Rutherford County grand jury to present the facts of anywhere between 100 to 200 new cases each month. They create and organize new files for each case and work with law enforcement to obtain documents, reports, and electronic data to assist in the prosecution of each case. The office has a dedicated person that reviews audio and video evidence to ensure that the personal information of those that are not a direct party to the case is not mistakenly released when otherwise not required or allowed by law. Our office relies upon three victim witness coordinators. They are responsible for working with victims and witnesses in all criminal cases. They have access to various case and court-related information and coordinate and provide necessary information to victims or witnesses. It may be as simple as providing a court date. It may be as complicated as arranging for the issuances of subpoenas, transportation, accommodations, and be present with victims and or victims' family members during a trial. Any case involving a witness or a victim in any capacity will involve a victim witness coordinator in some capacity. So that's basically all of them. The office has a division devoted specifically to the General Sessions Courts, and it consists of four assistant district attorneys that handle any type of criminal case that arises in one of the three General Sessions Courts that hear criminal cases. There are two assistant district attorneys that handle specifically domestic violence cases and one assistant district attorney that handles DUI cases only. The General Sessions assistants has help from support staff provided by Rutherford County for help with court scheduling and domestic violence victim coordination. The office has a dedicated assistant district attorney that handles all criminal juvenile offenses in Rutherford County. There are three trial courts that require staffing by our office. The Division II Circuit Court is staffed by three assistant district attorneys that handle any type of criminal case. There is one assistant that handles only child neglect as well as physical and sexual abuse crimes against children, and an additional assistant district attorney that handles only homicide cases in that court. The Division III Circuit Court is also staffed in the same manner. Three assistants that handle all types of criminal cases, one assistant that handles only child abuse and neglect crimes, and one assistant, that being me, that handles only homicides. The third criminal court, which is actually held in our Chancery Court, like the other two courts, has three assistants that handle any type of criminal case, and one assistant that handles DUI-related cases only. This includes vehicular homicides and vehicular assaults. The Office of the District Attorney General for the 16th Judicial District covers Rutherford and Cannon counties, meaning that the District Attorney General, Jennings Jones, is responsible for all criminal cases in Cannon County as well as Rutherford County. Cannon County is a much smaller area with a much smaller population. Therefore, one assistant district attorney is assigned to handle all criminal cases and courts in Cannon County. This includes the General Sessions Court, the Juvenile Court, and the Circuit or Trial Court. Finally, unlike many district attorney general's offices across the state, our office still maintains a child support division. That is staffed by several men and women, including two assistant district attorneys. This division assists men and women who are entitled to child support and need help with the courts to enforce the payment of that support with the help of their support staff. These two assistants handle child support cases in both Cannon and Rutherford counties. This has been a very brief look inside the office of the District Attorney General for the 16th Judicial District.